Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Yes, indeed. And you need to know, you must know who you are so you can really get in touch and figure out, decide if what you believe is keeping you stuck, leaving you liberated. You get to choose. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show, and it's time for a quick prayer, a quick affirmation, a ritual that we do on this show every day.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
That's the prayer, yes, and we do that every day we're here. Because we are one with the one. That is my dear friend Carly Jackson reminding us of who we are. And when we know who we are, when we embrace the truth of who we are, we make different choices. We remember that we are not sick. We remember that we are sacred because we are created out of a presence that is so powerful and everywhere evenly present. As we return to the truth of who we are with Agape Choir.
To me, with every breath,
What a prayer. That's right. Mm-hmm. Reflecting each and every one of us as we return to the truth of who we are, as we return to love, as we return to that place, our soulfulness, the part of us that transcends the physical senses, the part of us that is never sick, that doesn't experience lack, that doesn't have issues about self-worth. It just is. It just is. So when you return to love, when you return to God, when you return to the Goddess, when you return to the truth that dwells within you. As a matter of fact, when you return to the truth that you dwell in, yes, the truth is in you and you're in truth. God is in you and you're in God. God is all there is. There is nothing else. And for the egoic mind, I don't know about that. But listen, God is all there is. God, good, energy. It's all the same thing. Energy is all there is. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. Go with what works for you. I'm speaking to the God of your own understanding. Because right where you are, all is well. The Agape Choir, return to me to find out more about them. Go to their virtual home, agapelive.com. AgapeLive.com, or you can go to their website where you can download your own chant, soundofagape.com. Let's just take a breath. Breathe in and breathe out. Trust and know that in this moment, all is well, all is complete, all is whole, all is love. And from this place, this space of oneness, I welcome you to this sacred gathering known as the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to yourself first and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when you align with the change, when you yield to the change, when you change with the change, you can't help but make a difference, because we are all here to make a difference. We are all here. Nobody's getting fired. We're just getting fired up to get promoted. I'm having fun with myself and a dear friend I spoke to today about that conversation. We're here to light up the planet, to assist in the transformation. But you know, you've got to start with yourself first. And this universal principles, this truth thing, it's a double-edged sword, you know. It cuts both ways. It cuts the BS of the teacher and it cuts the BS of the student. So when you speak the truth and you embody the truth, it breaks you away from illusion and you get to see life differently. Now the question becomes, now what? What you gonna do? Whatever you do, make sure it's funky, because you're here to activate the presence and power of goodness, the presence and power of God. And that's why today, our theme being spiritual groundedness in spite of shaky ground, we want to remind you that you're not sick. You are sacred. That's a beautiful quote by our guest who's going to be joining us soon. You're already whole, you're already healthy, and we'll talk more about that soon. But yes, it is so nice to be here. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I Am is your host. The I Am Presence is hosting you, and the I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach at a the Nutty Professor, the Soul Whisperer. I got some other names, but Celeste is one that keeps record of all that. She might remind you when she comes on. But I just want to say thank you all for being here. I am so grateful. There's so much going on in the world, so much going on in the world. And it's not something that we need to be afraid of. Your observation is an indication that you have an obligation to let your light shine. Your observation is the indication that you have the obligation to let your light shine. And you don't have to do anything to let your light shine. You just need to get out of the way. The light is saying, coming through, relax, surrender, be still. Meditate, breathe, take action, move, don't stop. Just get out your own way. Get out your own way. We're here to do amazing. Something amazing. Ooh, I'm about to surprise you. That's right. I'm about to surprise you. And when you let the light shine through you as you, you get to be enlightened and full of delight. And people would say, that person is so delightful to have in our community. Such a delight to have them as part of our company. It's such a delight to know them. It's such a delight to be in a relationship with them. You are delightful. Thank you all that are listening, those of you that are listening online, those that are listening on the phone lines, those of you listening on the archive. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Don't be fooled by the appearance of things. We're doing some deep spirit work right now. Because the fact that you're hearing this, you're shifting, you're changing. When you shift, you change the planet. The intention is to raise your vibration. The intention is to support you on your transformation journey. So whatever you're moving through, whatever you're growing through and going through, we encourage you to just stay open. And in the words of Reverend Deborah Johnson, suspend doubt that your life is doomed. Suspend it and be open for what wants to be birthed through and as you. And, of course, we can't forget our Within Radio listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And new listeners. So, anyway, let me bring on Celeste. Celeste, I can't get in the chat room. I don't know what's going on, but it's okay because you're going to be my eyes. You're going to be whatever I need you to be because you said, how may I serve today? And I heard you in your prayer. I tuned in and I heard you saying to the Spirit, how may I serve today? So thank you for being willing to be of service. How are you, my dear friend?
I am very well. I'm so excited for this conversation with Dr. Amelia Kemp. I think moving from you're not sick, you are sacred, hearing those words in the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s would have made a significant difference for a lot of people that I know personally and for, you know, the LGBT community as well, because June is that month, Freedom Month. So I'm so excited about this conversation, and I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm aligned. I love what you said about Reverend D. We went to church yesterday energetically at Interlight Ministries, and she tore it up about suspension and suspending your doubt. Powerful conversation that I'm just – and this right here is just the continuation of the fruit. So I'm in a good place.
Yes.
I'm in the right place. Hey, Electra, and all the people on the phone lines, Yvette and Dr. Amelia is in the house.
Yes. We're getting ready to be reconnected, to be reminded of who we are. It's like, wait a minute. I knew that, you know, seeing, hearing voices, it was like I was listening to the voice of Spirit. Now, I just need the right context to help me fine-tune what I need to pay attention to, what I don't need to pay attention to.
Love it. I love it.
I wonder what
Dr. Amelia would have to say for people. You know, she is a metaphysician as well as all of her stuff in the world. I wonder what she'd have to say to people who had that the feeling that if you're hearing voices and if you're seeing fairies, you're not crazy. You're sacred. Like, how would she flip that? Now, I'm ready. Let's get to it.
Yes.
I got questions, Dr. Amelia.
Yeah, she's a doctor. She's a psychotherapist, and she's a sacred therapist. So, you know, whatever you got, she already tuned in. She does her work. She's a vessel.
Good.
She's like, okay, I'm ready to raise the vibration on the planet. See, they probably passed some laws now. Somebody's going to be funding mental health and saying, I don't know why, I just feel led, because we're standing for transformation. That's why. All right.
Yeah. All right.
I think we're ready to do some announcement. Let me go up here. And then, is there anything I need? Well, let's see. Is there anything? No. I think everything is going to be in the announcement because we got some stuff to talk about.
It's
all right, Celeste, we'll see you in a minute or two.
Okay. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. It's Celeste here, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here every Monday from 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. If you have questions or thoughts for upcoming shows for Life Coach Today, you can email them to ask@lifecoachaday.com. The theme for the month of June is spiritual groundedness. in spite of shaky ground. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Our newest show on the network is Living in the Yes with Reverend Deborah L. Johnson at 9 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night. Then join Ambassa Safara for the Koi Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month at 12 p.m. Eastern. And you can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. The Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. You have more places to listen to Life Coach Today. You can catch him every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, on 12radio.com for soul food for your consciousness. Get a little pep in your step when you join Life Coach Today on Tuesday mornings. Be on the lookout for the postings for all these shows. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate you. And those of you in the chat room, those we can see and those we can't see, thank you. Earthwebs, it is so nice to see you. Where you been? Where you been? It's nice to have you back. You've probably been listening in the background. Electra is in the house. Thank you, my dear sister friend. I'm full of gratitude. You know, this thing, let me find one of my crystals or some, take my show outside and stand on grass, Celeste, because I am feeling like I'm about to float away. Float on, float on.
All right now, my name is Lair, and I'm a Cancer. Listen, man, we have a guest on here.
Oh, we got to behave ourselves.
We have to behave.
Right, because that's right. Because if we keep messing around, she may have to get us to book a session. Like, y'all need your head. No, y'all need your head aligned with your soul. That's what she's gonna tell us.
Oh my goodness. I love it. Don't stop being you. Don't stop believing. Okay.
Don't stop believing. I need help. I need a sacred therapist. Okay, and she's gonna say you're not sick. You're sacred. Okay, go ahead, Celeste.
Wonderful. It is my pleasure, family. Dr. Amelia Kemp is an author, metaphysician, licensed psychotherapist, and board-certified alternative medical practitioner with a master's degree in mental health counseling and non-traditional doctorate in metaphysical theology. She is the first to offer alternative holistic ways to describe, interpret, and treat all mental and emotional diagnoses in her groundbreaking new book, From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy, Alternative Holistic Descriptions and Healing Processes for 170 Mental and Emotional Diagnoses Worldwide. Family, this is the woman who says, we are not sick, we are sacred. Please welcome Dr. Amelia Kemp.
Thank you. Ooh, thank you. Such a warm welcome. I am so happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you, Ada and Celeste. It's just wonderful. Thank you.
You're
very welcome. It is so nice to have you. And we've got some questions. We want to just align with your soul and hear what you're going to download for us.
I'm here to answer whatever I can.
Yeah, that's right. Now, here's the thing. We've read a little bit about you. There's a lot of information on your website. But I always want to know, and my listeners want to know, this one question. It's so important to ask that they always tell me, make sure you ask your guest this question, because or else we won't listen anymore. No, that's a lie. I'm making stuff up. But the question is, who are you? Who is Dr. Amelia Kemp?
Okay. Well, that's a fair question. I'm just like you. I wrote the book because the 8 steps in my book not only healed my clients, but first healed me too. So my journey from psychotherapy to sacred therapy was not as isolated as I thought it was, because once before I became a therapist, I saw that there were many me's out there in the world. And the me I used to be before I healed myself from anxiety and depression, using many of the aligning processes and healing exercises in the book, even though I've been healed for the better part of the last 2 decades, I remembered all too well how it felt to be so scared and alone and thinking that I was sick and defective and that I would never have the happy life I wanted. And worse, I couldn't figure out for the life of me what I was doing wrong and why me. And so I ultimately was able to create the fulfilling life that I live today despite my early beginnings of trauma. I came out of trauma, sexual trauma, and a lot of emotional abuse. And so as I went on my journey looking for the answers, the traditional medical model wasn't enough to sustain me. So I had to go looking for alternative answers. I wanted help, and in that help, medication and things like that I had to use back then, some of it did help, but it is, again, it wasn't sustaining me. And so I didn't want to, people were saying, well, you know, you should be happy for just having survived, and you should be happy for just having thrived. You should be happy for just being alive. And I'm like, no, no, no. I came forth into the physical for the joy of living. I want my joy. I want my peace of mind. I came for the gusto, and nothing but the gusto is going to do. So show me the path that can give me what the God source within me guaranteed before I agreed to come physical. And so I went searching forward, and praise God, I found it. And so as I found it, I discovered that it was helping not only me, but as a therapist, it started to help so many of my clients. And so I decided I wanted to share it with the world, because this is my 19th year of being a psychotherapist, and I saw that my outcomes were getting people back into the alignment of the fullness of their being, meaning mind, body, and spirit, pretty quickly. And many of the doctors would ask me, well, what are you doing differently? Because we see that when we send people to you, they do seem to heal faster. And they asked me that 10 years ago, and I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing different from my colleagues, but I do know that I was adding and offering my clients who were interested the spiritual aspects back into the treatment plan, which had usually left out. So that's the basis of how this got started, and from there it branched into what I call sacred therapy, because I saw that before I coined the phrase sacred therapy, a client would sit before me and they would be devastated, and I would say, well, you're not sick, sweetheart, you're sacred. And just saying that would make them sit up a little straighter. It was like, it got their attention. They were like, you mean I'm not crazy? I'm like, no, you're not crazy. And so, for instance, when, for confidentiality purposes, let's just go with the name Paul. Paul from Miami wasn't getting everything he wanted out of life, and he was just ready to give up, but he heard my interview on the radio. And something triggered in him to get a copy of the book, and he wasn't really believing it, but it's not like, well, I've tried everything else. What's this sacred therapy stuff? Let me try that too. And so he said, okay, I'll give it a try. He had been diagnosed with schizophrenia. He was hearing things and from his childhood and kept hearing them, and had been on so many different medications, had been hospitalized a couple times. And with that, when he sat before me, he's like, okay, so what can sacred therapy do for me with that? You know, can you help me? And I said, well, what I'd like for you to do, Paul, is in my book, I tell people with this that they can take solace in the fact that, first of all thought is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And it exists within the non-physical realm. And so, therefore, as far as I'm concerned, it could be argued that most everyone is first seeing things in the mind's eye that aren't really there physically until they manifest, and are hearing things that aren't really being said, sometimes both literally and figuratively. Many people,
mm-hmm.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did. And so we're all doing it. And so the experience of what constitutes reality is relative to each person's
yes.
ability to fully perceive their moment-by-moment alignment with their mind, body, and spirit. So the grasp of reality then lies within the consensus of the participants that agree that this particular matter or experience is or isn't reality. And reality
mm-hmm.
then can only be labeled by the medical model as part of what they call the normative curve. And so each person gets to determine his or her own reality based on his or her own perceptions. So schizophrenia then can be viewed as a magnification of this perceptually diverse vantage point, because I feel that it's one's inherent understanding that the fullness of one's being is not confined to agreed-upon parameters of human thought, which is abstract and beyond brain chemistry. So many people think brain chemistry and mind are the same things. They're not the same. And so one's ability to perceive beyond the conventional constructs of consciousness that connect the physical with the non-physical can become blurred. And
let me jump in there, especially
sure.
that point there, when you talk about taking someone from the physical to the non-physical, how do you apply that with clients who maybe at the beginning of their spiritual journey or just simply believe Jesus, Muhammad, or whatever is the only way, or they don't even believe Jesus, Muhammad, not like when we die, that's it. How do you get a client to go beyond what they're dealing with right now, who've been told they're sick? And later on, I want you to talk about disorder as well, because I know you have something about, particularly you have there's a way you look at disorder. But how do you deal with clients who have been told they're sick, they have a disorder, and then to be able to take them from the physical to the non-physical?
Well, the fact that they come thinking that they have a disorder is because that's
mm-hmm.
what has been labeled as in the medical model. And so what I help them to see is that the word disorder is not consistent with universal principles of the laws of creation, and that
mm-hmm.
instead I see it as a reaction. So I've re-described and reinterpreted it from that vantage point that it's a reaction, or it's a divine intention that I believe the soul came forth into the physical to live part or all of its physical journey in the first place. And so with the word matter, which is a part of every chapter of my book and all of the 8 steps, I break down the word matter, because every time someone sits before me or goes through the steps of the book, my question is, what's the matter? And we as human beings ask each other that all the time, hey, what's the matter? What's the matter? But we don't realize how profound of a question that really is, because I'm not just asking what's the matter psychologically, I'm asking what the matter is at the subtle energy basis of it, and matter is subtle matter when it's invisible, which means it gets into the non-physical realm. Where
uh-huh.
just like oxygen, you can't see it, but you're breathing it, so you know it's there. And just like gas, you can't see it, but you smell it, so you know it's there. Well, it's the same way with your thoughts. You can't see a thought because it stays in the non-physical realm, but you know you're thinking it, so you know it's there. So
uh-huh.
regardless of what spiritual path a person may have, as a metaphysician, we see it all as one. So the specific constructs of how they view their belief system seem to penetrate it when I use words such as matter, energy, and vibration. It takes it out of a religious context and just puts it as pure science, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps them to immediately see themselves with the fullness of who they are, regardless of what terminology they want to use to describe that.
Right. Right. Let's just think of this, because this is something that I come upon a lot. And I want to hear your definition as a psychotherapist as well as a sacred therapist. How do you define depression?
Well, as a psycho, you mean the difference between how it's viewed as from the traditional model versus the alternative way I view it?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Well, basically, depression is considered in the medical field when someone has a two-week crisis where many times they are unable to get out of bed, have lost all hope, very tearful, may have unreasonable guilt and things like that, that has gotten them to the place that they may lose weight or just have zero energy. And that's just the traditional way that depression is looked at. From a sacred therapy point of view, the symptoms that a person has can still be described that way, but I reframe them from the standpoint that many people who are depressed point to usually some specific incident or series of incidents or traumas that cause them to feel this degree of sadness. And so many therapists are trying to focus on helping them to understand or to vent out what the issue was that caused the depression. And so from a sacred therapy point of view, I try to get them to understand that it's not the trauma or the situation that they think caused the depression that's keeping them depressed. It's the meaning and the focus of what they've attached to it that's keeping them depressed, and that's a big difference. And so many people are still upset about something that happened 20 years ago or 20 days ago, and so their focus of attention is on there. But the direction of our thought will determine our quality of life. And so I want them to understand it's not mama, daddy, or the incident with the spouse or whoever did whatever they did that caused the situation for you to think that that's what got you depressed, that's keeping you in this vibration of sadness. What's keeping you in the vibration of sadness is the focus and attention and meaning that you've given to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And teach them about brain chemistry to the degree that the quality of life can rest in where you decide to focus attention, because everything begins with a thought, since a thought is non-physical. So if you think about that bad thing that you wish didn't happen and you chronically focus on it, then that's going to trigger cortisol and sodium lactate and adrenaline in a way that feels horrible, and that's going to keep you depressed and affect your energy. And if you decide to deliberately focus over here on a meaning that's attached to it that will now trigger serotonin and give you your natural healing endorphins in the brain a chance to make you feel good, then you're going to feel good. And so this is where I try to break down the concept of free will, that you are free to choose the meaning, because your well-being rests within your meaning. Everyone's life experience is being lived based on their beliefs. And so what we believe about ourselves and the things that are happening in our individual experiences determines the quality of our life. So if I believe I'm sick and defective, I will think thoughts that trigger that brain chemistry that I just described. But if I believe I'm not sick, I'm sacred, then I'm going to trigger the hormones in my brain that make me feel good. And so our beliefs are like clothes because we live our lives in them. And like clothes, our beliefs can be changed, ironed out, washed out, or thrown out altogether if it don't fit.
Burnt out. I know that's right. I know
you
that
know,
is right.
So that's why I changed the meaning on all of the diagnosis, because meaning is where quality life begins. And so,
how does that work with – sorry, I wanted to, as you're talking and what you're saying, I get it. I'm with you. But as a psychotherapist, sacred therapist, how does that work with people who have been told they're chemically depressed, so there must always be a medication because there's an imbalance in their brain or in their body, and it's not so much about something that happened in their past?
Well, it doesn't have to be something that happened in their past, because it's still based on a thought. And so in my book, I give illustrations of a brain with a plug-in socket sticking out of it, plugged into universal mind, which many of us call God or creator or source energy, whatever terminology you want. And so it works the same way, in the sense that our thoughts create brain chemistry. And many people think it's the other way around. Since our thought remains in the non-physical, then, for instance, when we transition, and for those of us who are believers in the eternalness of our beingness, then we're still thinking even as we come in and out of bodies. And so if it was only brain chemistry, our brain dies with the body temple that we release, but our eternal soulfulness goes on, and we're still thinking. So that's mind. So our mind is what our brain is plugged into. And so those who are being described as a chemical imbalance is because the thoughts they're thinking are triggering the brain chemistry. It's like your laptop being plugged into the socket and the thing. You have to type into your computer. It's not just sitting there. It's saying, okay, what do you want me to do? It's got everything. And so our body temple is that computer. It's got everything, but you have to type into it. You have to think the thought for it to create. And so once you're thinking that thought, then you're going to stimulate or trigger the brain chemistry, which we call neurotransmitters, to go in a certain direction. And the thoughts you think are either going to send them in the direction of well-being, which is that serotonin and those natural healing endorphins, or it's going to send it in direction of dis-ease, because we hyphenate the word as metaphysician. We don't call it disease. We call it dis-ease.
Right.
The person will now trigger cortisol and the hormones that feel awful. And so that's what we mean when we say brain chemistry. When they say it's chemical, they're just skipping the metaphysical explanation of it and just going straight to what they can observe, not understand the thought. So, but the thought, we have 60,000 thoughts a day, and so nobody can keep up with all of that, but we can keep up with how we feel, because first we think and then we feel. So most people present to a doctor or a therapist with their symptoms of how they feel. And so a doctor not being a metaphysician is naturally just going to say, well, that's your brain chemistry. You have a chemical imbalance here. They automatically understand the brain chemistry. Where I'm coming from is going in front of the brain chemistry, saying they're skipping the sentence that's saying, okay, you're thinking a thought that's stimulating this brain chemistry. That's a main sentence that's being left out. And so but there is something called cognitive behavioral therapy, where many theorists in the past understood how powerful our thoughts were as well. They just never related that thought to the non-physical realm of spirit the way I do, and the way others who are into metaphysical theology and quantum physics. We go to what we call the energy basis of it, and energy, of course, everything's energy. And so energy is that basis that gives a system Well, let's define energy, because a lot of people use that word flippantly, you know, because it's just a new age term, but it's not. Energy is truly the capacity of any physical system to perform work, that being the amount of heat or light or radiation of power that's being released or absorbed as life force or vital essence. So it's that life force or vital essence that we as metaphysicians consider that spirit plays. So the energy basis of the diagnosis as it relates to sacrotherapy is that divine essence or life force that Einstein taught us could not be created or destroyed, but only transferred. So we're always either just recharging our energy or dispersing it, because that's what we came forth into the physical as spirits, to use these other added five senses to go along with the sixth sense. And so what I'm trying to help people take back their power, which, again, is power means energy. When we say, hey, you need to take your power back, that's what we mean. And so from an energy place, and so it, once they understand that they have mighty influence over the quality of their lives by understanding how powerful a thought really is, that it's not just a bunch of positive thinking thing, oh, you need to just think positive. That statement's true, but it's not defined well enough for people to embrace it. And so my book breaks matter down to the degree of helping people to understand what it really is and gives them the tools. It's 24 exercises in the book that helps them to come back into alignment with the fullness of who they are, because the spiritual aspects of one's being are generally left out of mental health unless it's bereavement. And even then, it usually just goes over the stages of grief. It doesn't get into these types of subtle matters and energy and vibration, because we vibrate. And so I show pictures in my book of vibration going through a brain and from the universe and how it all ties as one. So when we make that statement, all is one, we do understand that there's a energetic basis to all of life, regardless if it's us or an animal or a leaf or a particle of dirt, that all of it is vibrating and it's all energy based, and our thoughts are the nucleus of all of that. Did that explain?
Yeah. I want to ask you about mental health, but I just want to remind our listeners, my guest is Dr. Amelia Kemp. She's a metaphysician, a psychotherapist, a sacred therapist, and she is here to serve, and she is doing that. Her book is From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy, and it's Alternative Healing Descriptions and Healing Processes for 175 Mental and Emotional Diagnoses Worldwide. So the format is sort of similar to Louise Hay's book, but before we talk about that, I want to ask you, for me, I always find when people talk about mental health, it's often looked as the word mental health itself is a sickness. So we need to talk more about mental health. I don't get the impression that when they're talking about mental health, they're talking about mental wellness. How do you define mental health? And how did the medical industry define it, and what really, from your work that you've done, well, from the research and everything that you've done and what you're teaching now, how do you actually expand on the limited interpretation of mental health?
Well, mental health, I think, is consistent in the sense that the World Health Organization talks about well-being being the oasis of mental health. And so for me, I use the term alignment, alignment with mind, body, and spirit, which is not what the traditional model would call that. And so, but I think in terms of someone being mentally healthy for the traditional model, there's what we call a normative curve that I disagree with. The normative curve is the standard of mental health, which means the word norm comes from normative. So anybody who's in the, where they draw the lines and say, if you're in this circle right here, this is normal. So if you're normal, you're mentally healthy right here. Now don't go, if you go too far to the left, it's too little. And if you go too far to the right, it's too much. Now, you folks are unhealthy. But in my paradigm, in sacred therapy, I feel that the human experience is being lived beyond the borders of that, and so it should all be inclusive instead of saying these people who are on the outside of lines you drew aren't healthy. So that's crazy to me. And so for me, I believe that all human experience has come forth for a reason, and either it's a divine intention or somebody just went out of alignment with their mind, body, and spirit in one area. And so that's why I call it an alignment, plus the medical model for mental health does not include the spiritual aspects, whereas the sacred therapy model does, because I feel it's fragmented to only say, well, we're going to deal with your brain and your social affairs and your life or your body and leave that out. Mm-hmm. Leave the spiritual part, which is the eternal part of us. Let's just leave that out of the conversation. And
right,
I think
that's
fragmented, that no, we have to be inclusive of the fullness of a person's beingness. And so that's the distinction that I make between how they see mental health and how I see it much broader.
I want to ask you this question, and then we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about ADHD, ADD, autism, and some other things about it. Even in your book, you even talk about Akashic Records. So just these things I just said, your colleagues now, when they hear your method, when you talk to them, what kind of response do you get from them?
To my colleagues?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I sent the book out for peer review and for colleagues whose opinions that I wanted, that I felt treated certain diagnoses to get feedback from. And those particular ones were very, very supportive of it and felt that it added a dimension that was definitely missing. It from a broader point of view, since I didn't write the book reaching for consensus, I knew that I would be a pioneer. Like Louise Hay, I do for mental health what she did for physical health. And so I knew that I may stand alone, and I was prepared to do that. So it didn't matter to me what my colleagues thought about it. I had to live my own truth, since I encompassed things that certainly brought me back into alignment. And as a psychotherapist for 19 years, I saw how it was bringing my clients back into alignment. And since so many doctors were validating that I was doing something different that was speeding up the healing process, that was enough for me to go forth with it. So I haven't, other than the initial sending it out for peer review, I haven't sent it to anyone else in the medical model for any discussion on it. So I don't know what they may or may not. I have some hunches of that they would think this is a bunch of garbage because many people who feel that you can't measure something, we like to use the word research-based in the traditional model. And so, but research has to be used to its logical conclusions. And Dr. Valerie Hunt's work in UCLA helped us to understand, or at least helped me understand, that because research is based on the Euclidean geometry system, which can't measure subtle energy, that's why, I mean, I guess we just haven't harnessed the equipment yet where we can squeeze God into it. It's just too expansive. So measurement.
Yes.
You know, but the scientific model, if they can't see it, you know, it's not real. And so, and I'm okay with their paradigm, but that's not the paradigm that I live my life through. And so that's why I try to give the non-physical examples of gas and oxygen, that just because we don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. And so I want people to understand that thoughts remain in that non-physical, and they will go with them because your mind and your brain are two separate things. So, yeah. I may be a pioneer here.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, there was a time where this conversation, even just talking about being able to meditate, was kind of looked at as funny. You know, there was a time where, you know, it was a time where people were saying you need a medium to get to God. And some of the things we're talking about now, back then was like, no, that's not possible. And we can make it very practical and look at the smartphones today. There was a time when the general public will think that's not possible, and now there's amazing things we can do with our smartphones. And so, you know, there's got to be people who are visionaries who are going to push and open up to more, and that's what I see your work being about. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about autism, especially parents who are dealing with children who are autistic, or, you know, in school or whatever, they're told they've got ADHD, they need to be put on some medication. And just your thoughts on that, okay?
Sure, okay.
Yes, yes, yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My guest is Dr. Amelia Kemp. She's a licensed mental health counselor. She's a psychotherapist, a sacred therapist. I don't know if she used that, but that's something I made up. Well, making up from her makeup. So I'm just extending it. And she's bringing enlightenment to people, to life, and reminding us that your thoughts are very, very powerful. What are you focusing on? What do you really want? Where are you placing your attention? What's the meaning you're giving your life? Because mental wellness, emotional wellness, it's about the meaning you're giving your life, how you're honoring your body, how you're honoring your spirit. It's a holistic approach. So we're talking about healing the human body, the whole body, should I say, healing the whole body. And the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We are bringing on Celeste for announcements, and then we're going to do Celestial Moment, and then we're going to continue the conversation, and we're just going to do whatever comes next. Aren't we, Celeste?
That's right, Life Coach today. Dr. Amelia, you are wonderful. Thank you so much for your beautiful work. Okay, family, we've got some live announcements for you. I'm going to keep you informed about what's going on here. Next Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern, Life Coach Today is flying solo to provide you with practical tools to navigate your spiritual life on the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. And get some zest in your life when you start your morning with a day tomorrow at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern for Soul Food for Your Consciousness on 12radio.com. And then join Cynthia James and Carl Stutna for Bridging the Gender Gap teleseries on Sunday, June 15th, 8 p.m. Eastern. To get your free ticket to the Bridging the Gender Gap teleseries, visit bridgingthegendergap.net/Ade, A-D-E. We will keep you posted. So make sure you tune in, because when you do, you get to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way and spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, be the change you want to see. You have the tools, you have the power, you have the will to stand, to become what you want. You got to become it. You have to become a vibrational match and change your thoughts, change your life. We're having a conversation with Dr. Amelia Kemp. She's the author of From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy. And we're going to continue the conversation right after Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, what we also call the Spiritual Weather Report. Hey, Celeste, welcome back.
Hi. I'm ready to go lions and tigers and bears, but I'm just kidding.
Oh, my.
I'm just kidding. Hello, family. It's Celeste, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. Yes, we are in the midst of a Mercury retrograde. A Neptune retrograde started today, and the gift of release with the full moon in Sagittarius is happening on Friday the 13th. But we're not afraid. The energy of the day is 4, and this number is ruled by Uranus. So, though you might feel fear, the ruling planet of 4 invites you to think outside the box. And since we are playing with spiritual groundedness in spite of shaky ground, I thought that we would play with the animals. The fourth animal in the medicine cards is the deer. That's where we're going to put the spotlight today. Dear, so gentle and loving you are, the flower of kindness and embrace from afar. Now, love is the strongest force, we are all clear, but the look of love is truly the power of the deer. For when a monster stood in her way to Sacred Mountain to see Great Spirit, it was her eyes full of gentleness and compassion and quiet determination that melted the monster right in its tracks. It shriveled up into the size of a walnut. We too have that power when we are being blocked from our destination. What is showing up as your monster today? Dear teaches us to use the power of gentleness to touch the hearts and minds of wounded beings who are trying to keep us from Sacred Mountain. And understand this, the monster could be you. So let's not choose sides today, but use our energy to see our challenges through the eyes of love We'll remove all the blocks on the path by first starting with our own barriers to awakening our hearts. We are not free to pass until we love the monster within all of us. All is well. And that's the story of four through our friend the deer of medicine card. I'll see you soon for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you. Thank you for all
My
you
pleasure.
Do. Now get back to work.
I've seen
you're not
yeah,
working
yeah.
ready.
Right? Okay, now.
Thank you. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. Celeste will be back on Sunday. Well, she'll be back actually tomorrow night with Reverend Deborah Johnson. She'll be hiding in the cough. And then her show on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. This music you're hearing is Destiny Muhammad, Harpist from the Hood, Grace. You can find her by going to destinymuhammad.com. I want to thank all of you that are listening. Earthweb, Choir, Silent Listeners, Disguised Guests, Love and Happiness. Tia, thank you, thank you. Lulu is in the house. Mother Wit, Valerie is in the house. New Jace, Jackie is in the house. Zoe, Peaceful Maker is in the house. Neashara is in the house. And Donna is in the house. And there are others we can't see. Thank you all for tuning in. I don't know why Blog Talk Radio bounced you guys out with the commercials. We need to have a conversation with them. But if we're going to partner with you, then you need to get your shift together, because we're trying to be about we're not trying to do anything. We're doing it. We are about transformation. So get your shift together and stop kicking out our listeners. Okay, I let that out of my system. But anyway, I'm going to change my thought and allow my brain to release chemicals that just enlighten me, that make me feel light, because I am about mental wellness. And so is Dr. Amelia Kemp, who is my guest today. She is the author of From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy, and reminding you that you are not sick. That's a lie. You are sacred, and we are indeed. So I'm grateful for her work. Welcome back, Doc.
Thank you, Ade. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Now, let's break this down a little bit, because, you know, people, you know that you've heard that stuff. Yeah, it's easier said than done. Now, let's talk about people who have children, niece, nephews, who's been diagnosed as having been autistic. You know, and I guess we can tie this, all of it together, ADHD. But basically where the child or the adult has to be medicated because the environment that we've created is not conducive to their wellness. What are your thoughts about autism, ADHD, and medication in that area? What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I'll take them separately since they're different. But the Asperger's syndrome was actually removed this year from the DSM. It's no longer a pertinent diagnosis, but it's been added to the autism spectrum. And so every few years, the powers that be decide which disorders are going to be in and which ones are going to be out, which is another problem I have. But I want
to
ask
this. Can you, for the benefit of our listeners, so what does that change mean? What was it before, and then when they change it, what does that mean?
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say, that for me, when those changes occur, I want people to understand the subjectiveness of it all, which is why when I was talking earlier about that normative curve, that a few thousand people in maybe each country get to decide what the billions of us on the planet are going to be diagnosed or not diagnosed with. And so I want people, that's why it's so important that we start to honor our own internal guidance, which is capable of letting us know our own mental well-being. But when those changes go in and out, sometimes it takes on a political dimension of what funding will be available for people who are presenting with different symptoms and that type of thing as well. But clinically, from I kept Asperger's in my book despite the fact that it was taken out because so many people had been diagnosed with it, even though it was always understood that the medical model saw it as the higher aspect of autism. And so the way I see it differently from the medical model when it comes to Asperger's and autism is I believe that in a society where many people dislike being alone and don't even enjoy their own company, that most people are eager to socialize with and share likenesses. And therefore, it seems so strange to people to observe others who actually like themselves and prefer their own company and find contentment in exclusive activities. Therefore, what's being viewed as social impairment, as far as I'm concerned, could also be viewed as emotional self-sufficiency, because I feel that those who come forth with this have the inherent understanding that one is an individualized expression of spirit, and as such, souls who are born with this reaction are not conformist. Therefore, one chooses not to adapt to the social cues or norms and may be attracted to restrictive or unorthodox stimuli. So these souls may come forth to just relish in having manifested their spirit into physical matter and are simply satisfied with the idea of temporarily being human. And therefore, one's intention to remain emotionally self-sufficient. They become preoccupied with their own interests and are not absorbed in worrying about what other people think of him or her, unless society convinces them that honoring their own divine intentions is maladaptive. And so then one begins to dishonor their own differences, and I think that this is where it puts that it's an era of putting people in these so-called normative curve boxes. This is the damage that I see it does, because it's being looked at as outside of the box versus as an extension of human experience. And so that's how it ends up triggering any negative emotion surrounding this particular matter. And so that's how I view Asperger's. As far as ADD or ADHD is concerned, ADD is when it's without hyperactivity, and ADHD is when it's with hyperactivity, which is basically just a persistent pattern of inattention or hyperactivity due to someone's inability to ignore extemporaneous stimuli and focus on one thing at a time for long periods of time. But the way I see it is that ADD or ADHD is the divine objective to not take anything in one's environment for granted. I feel they're scoping the matter out, or at least noticing that it's there and as part of the landscape of life, and that if this reaction is mixed with hyperactive energy, that there's the added impulse to go beyond noticing it to experiencing everything in the moment it is sensed, honoring its divine presence. And this appreciation can be cultivated as one expands one's ability to attend to one matter at a time longer. And this is done by purposely grounding oneself in an environment with limited stimuli. But I see it as a person honoring their panoramic sensing. But when it's looked at negatively with words that make a person feel maladaptive and inept or bouncing off the walls and terminology that adds to a person's sense of thinking that they're sick and defective, that adds to helping a person stay further and further out of alignment. And so I see ADD and ADHD as a divine intention. I don't see it as a misalignment. I think a soul intentionally comes forth just totally tickle pink that they're able to embrace and notice everything. Whereas, if anything, we should be the ones diagnosed like we're missing it. I mean, they did hear that bird go by, but we're ignoring the bird. But they're like, wait a minute, I just heard that. And we're like, stop looking at the bird and pay attention to the boy. But a bird did just go by, didn't it? So I don't have a problem with it. You know, I used to be the director of mental health for the school board, and that was my argument all the time. I was like, will you leave my kids alone? Because, you know, yes, there are things that I understand that people want children to conform and comply and to sit still and that type of thing, but they're children, and they can still hear you. Sometimes in sessions when I used to treat kids, a parent would hit their child on the knee and say, stop, pay attention to what the, and I'm like, they can hear me. Just because they're tapping their feet doesn't mean they can't hear me. They, if they stick something in their ears, then I'll be concerned that they can't hear me. But just because they're moving and a little fidgety is not an appropriate behavior. And so we don't have to make them little robots or things like that, that this is a divine intention. And sometimes if we treat them and honor these their gifts to want to embrace it all and then help them to understand the balance and the ability to hone in on their fine. They already have the gift of honing in on the finer details of life because they don't miss anything. I think it's been diagnosed. I don't like the term because it's not attention deficit. They don't have a deficit in attending. They attend to everything. So it's been even mislabeled as far as I'm concerned. So I think that the spirit was not honored within those who come forth with that, that there's a way to balance that, and my book tries to honor each person's gift. This is what I mean by going to the energy basis of it. What's really happening here? And I see some beauty around that.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. I love the way you explain that. Celeste has a question, but before I go to Celeste, I want to ask you, what kind of spiritual modality, spiritual practice do you prescribe, if you will, for parents who are open to embrace it or open to sacred therapy, especially when they're dealing with children who have been diagnosed and been hyperactive?
You said what type of spiritual practice?
Mm-hmm. Do you offer like meditation? Do you?
Oh,
when
I see.
You're talking about parents to honor, so they can honor the spirit. Go ahead.
Oh, I see. Yes, as part of the 8 steps in the book, because there's an alignment process for all 170 diagnoses in Chapter 3 of the book, but that's only Step 2. So since it is 8 steps, the parents can go through that as well, especially parents need to focus a great deal on conditioning, the step that talks about conditioning and memes and old programming, because many times it's their own programming, and back to that word meaning, that they're attaching to it that takes their children further out of alignment because they're demanding that their children conform to something that's unconformable. And so they need to be able to honor that. I like how Abraham puts it, that we're freedom-seeking beings, and nobody can handle that kind of suppression. And so if we start honoring that our children are souls just like we are, they're just in a younger body temple than we are, but they're still the same essence and deserve that honor. But so many parents have been trained, I'm the parent, you're the child, shut up and listen, versus understanding that it's a co-creative back and forth process going on with the souls that have agreed to come forth through them, that they're just the vessel, not the destination. And so many parents are trying to make their children little them, and versus honoring the uniqueness that soul came forth with its own divine intentions. And so my book helps parents to go back and look at themselves as well as to what work they need to do to allow the other soul to be different, because many family systems say, be like us or else. And that is so harmful to the spirit, because it means that you can't have your individuality and your uniqueness and your differences. And so and many parents are wearing, they're enmeshed with their children. They don't know where they end and the child begins. And so oftentimes they're embarrassed about little things that their kids do because they feel it's a reflection on them. So they have their own insecurities that need to be healed through the sacred therapy process. And so meditation and relaxation CD is a free one that comes with the book. If a person gets the book, I will send them a, It's called Aligning the Mind, Body, and Spirit, the Relaxation and Meditation CD, so that they can use that process. Many people use it daily or several times a week just to remind themselves of how to use their breath of life, because we take our breath with us, because attached to our breath is the prana that's attached to those oxygen molecules. And so that is that life force that I'm talking about within the energy. And so it helps them to learn how to fortify themselves so that they can be in an aligned place when they're dealing with a child that they think is out of alignment. But most are offering undisciplined discipline. So they're out of alignment, and then they're demanding that their children be in alignment. So it has to be a vibrational match for them to be able to have the co-creative, harmonious experience that they're reaching for. And so my book takes them through those steps so that everybody can be at the highest vibrational resonance possible when dealing with matter that they don't prefer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the contrast and diversity of life that we're basically trying to honor.
Indeed. So you literally, I mean, your work is about expanding people's consciousness and getting us to see that we're more than, as you said, Abraham would say, you're more than flesh, blood, and bone, that we're so much more than what we see with our physical eyes. And indeed, Dr. Kemp's website address is Dr. Amelia Kemp. That's DrAmeliaKemp.com. You can find out more information about her work. And let me bring on Celeste. Celeste has a question for you, Dr. Amelia.
Sure.
Hey, Celeste.
Man, okay, just get one. Okay, first of all, I have to share this from the chat room from Earth Labs. You guys crack me up. She goes, there was a time when a lot of the ADHD, and then she said, A, B, C, D, X, Z, tell them N-O-P, whatever was simply being kids. And then I flashed on Khalil Gibran. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself.
Yes.
All of that just waking up from your words in this conversation. I needed to reread that too. And speaking of undisciplined discipline, I want to know, how can we, in this internet world where we're globally so connected, use our energy to deal with parents who are punishing their children on Facebook by beating them or having them share, like, I failed third grade today, or I didn't do my homework? That to me seems really different from my mental health experience. Now there's an audience. What can we do to at least increase light? Because we don't have access to the parent. It's just the video clip. But I find it so jarring. I'm like, what can I do about this? And I just wonder from your standpoint, how can we offer, how can we be a village in this computer age when parents are disciplining their children, abusing them through video with a camera phone?
I think that each generation has had its own type of shaming mechanisms. And the internet is just the one for this generation, but there's been shaming, public shaming mechanisms throughout history, which is why it's so important that you went right to this energy basis I'm talking about, because as long as a person is looking outside of themselves, we call that an external locus of control. They will always be injured by what other people think. But if we can teach them, and which is what my work, Sacred Therapy, is so desperately trying to do, to have an internal locus of control where they get their strokes from within and that they can walk in their own truth without worrying about what anyone else thinks, even if it's their peers or their parents or their children or their siblings, if they can walk in their truth without wanting the amen choir, many people, if they don't get the amen choir to substantiate or validate or confirm their opinion, they feel as if their opinion must be not accurate. And what I'm trying to teach is we can't change what's happening out there, what you're just describing as a situation. So it's four things I've noticed as a psychotherapist and metaphysician that takes people out of alignment: a situation, an event, something that they saw, or words they heard. And what you're describing are the words that show up on Facebook or something like that. But as we talked earlier, our power is in the meaning that we attach to that. We can't do anything about that. And if mom and dad are insecure and they're feeling that that child's grades or whatever it is that the child did is a reflection of them because they didn't heal their own wounded shaming that someone did to them, this stuff gets passed down. It can get heinous if a person doesn't stop that continued pattern and then empower the child. That's what I tried to do in the school board. I wanted to give the power to the child because I don't go home with them. I couldn't change that system if everybody's not participating, but I could change the child. So it's not person and situation that we need to worry about. It's the person within. It's that spirit place within. And so a child can be in a chaotic environment like I was growing up in, but fortunately I got to a place where I understood that what's happening outside of me does not have to give me the definition of what I'm reaching for in my life. And so when that's happening to a child being shamed by a parent or teacher or anyone in their experience, I ask them to not agree with that meaning and not take on that meaning, and that they can know, well, no, you're not sick, you're sacred. They're out of alignment. And that person who's doing it to them is the one that's out of alignment, not them. And so it's very hard to penetrate culture and all of that, which is why I have a whole chapter in the book on conditioning and memes, because so many people, their small microcosm of the world is in their neighborhood or their house or their church or their school. And they, unfortunately, sometimes give up their own internal guidance system just because they want to be accepted. And so this is a big question that you asked that has so many aspects to it. But the shaming, to try to shame somebody into compliance, shame them into conforming with what I want you to do, is rampant throughout society and history, and has always been there, and I suspect it will always be there. I don't think that's something that itself will change, because there's always fearful people who believe that if I don't get you to change your behavior, you may do or say something that will hurt me. So until they understand the laws of attraction and how they bring things into their own experience through self-fulfilling prophecies, they will always be pointing to someone else outside of themselves as the culprit for their unhappiness, versus understanding that they don't have to allow that in.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that answer, because it's truly in alignment with your work, and it speaks to the truth that we know, because it's so easy to get involved in, you know, what Celeste was asking, that people say, yeah, that's right, we need to teach the kids something or whatever, whatever. But the truth is, we can't have in the world what we're not willing to become. If we're looking for compassionate parents, then we have to be compassionate people. We have to be the example of what we want to see on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or wherever it is. Thank you for that answer. Celeste, I know you got another question.
That is so beautiful. Okay, Dr. Amelia, my next question is,
yes.
People of color, you know, and not to say, I need to focus on people of color right now.
Okay.
And resistance to mental health. I have a friend who tried to commit suicide when she was in high school, and the nurse looked at her and said, how did it go? She said, black people don't commit suicide. And from that situation and her feeling shame that not only did she let her family down, and these are her words, not only did she let her family down, but also feeling like, well, here's this nurse telling her that she's black and she shouldn't have committed suicide. She is now resistant when she has emotional things that she's working through to go to a therapist and work it out and talk it out. what do you say to somebody like that who's fearful of the mental health profession? And how does your book and the way that you work with sacred therapy process, how would that have possibly helped her if we had access to that during that time? That happened in the 80s, by the way. And she's still traumatized from it.
I see. I think that, well, we're answering it on two levels. I mean, I have a whole chapter in my book called Ending the Matter, which is about suicidal thoughts and suicidal ideation and that type of things. I've identified four types, so anyone interested in that can look at that. But in terms of the racial stigma and confusion about getting professional help, that's been going on for a very long time, and even though we thank, you know, the Jesse Raphaels, the Oprahs, and all of those who tried to bring therapy to the mainstream and letting people know that when you have run out of options that reaching for mental health professionals is okay, people still feel frightened. I have a front and back door at my office, and some people still will go out the back door because they're scared to even run into somebody in my waiting room. And so it's still happening for some people, and they have to get there because their shame is so deep. I haven't, I noticed, and this is not just African-American people who feel that way. I've seen it in all cultures because I treat all cultures, but with African-Americans who felt back in the day when they knew that certain research was being done on African Americans and they felt that they would be labeled as crazy because of cultural differences, it did make people paranoid. And at one point, it was a place of healthy paranoia. It's healthy paranoia for anyone to believe that if I present in front of a professional and they're going to make me feel as if I'm sick when I know, even if I didn't use the term sacred, I know that I'm more than my symptoms, I don't want to be labeled. So that was healthy for someone to want to resist that type of labeling. The difference, though, is that I tell people I treat the healthiest people on the planet. People who are healthy go to get help. People who are afraid would never walk in a therapist's door. And so it's just the opposite. Weak people who think they're weak would too scared to get help. Healthy people get help. And so they need to understand that. It takes courage to go through personal growth and development. And so, but in terms of all therapists are required to take multicultural training these days, and it's been that way. This is my 19th year of being a therapist. It's been that way since I was in grad school. So most therapists have multicultural understanding of the racial issues and that type of thing, and have a, what we call sensitivity training for it. So if a black person doesn't have to see a black therapist, it's the human condition. And so I don't see it. The black people came into a body temple that just happened to be that particular race because of whatever their divine intentions were, but we're much more alike than we'll ever be different. We're vibration mostly, energy always, and so it doesn't matter. But if a person believes that being black means that they are not equal to others, then that's a self-esteem issue. That's not a black issue. And self-esteem can be treated by most clinicians. Now, because there are some clinicians, black and white, who believe that blacks or other races may be treated poorly, then I fear that that black therapist or white therapist who also believes that a black person is suffering, I feel they will add to the person's miscreation by approaching it from that paradigm. I treat my clients in their strength. I don't join them in their weakness. And so if they have a perception of weakness or they have a perception of being paranoid and thinking that it's a white world, that has to be cleaned up immediately because I go back to what I said earlier in the interview. It's about the meaning you've attached to it, and I understand it's been exposure to it as well. We definitely have had racism and those things manifest in society, but they also manifested from a thought. A belief is just a thought that a person keeps thinking, and thoughts can be changed. And so as we give them to understand that they have much more influence than they knew they had on their own physical experience, they will change. And I, if you saw pictures of me back in college, I had a microphone at my hand and burned down the administration. I mean, I came out of that thing. And it wasn't until I found out this information that I tested it, because I just could have sworn that when I went into a store that because I was black, they would treat me a certain way. And I just couldn't believe that this type of law of attraction, metaphysical stuff, I thought it was a joke initially myself. And I said, well, I'm going to test it. I went in with my big bush and everything, just trying to show that I was black power to see with this new attitude if it was going to matter. And before I could even push the door all the way open, they were already speaking to me. So that freaked me out. And I said, wait a minute, it couldn't be my thoughts. So I went in to the same store dressed totally different ways, hat backwards, baseball cap. I was just going to prove that, oh, well, I probably still look professional. Let me look unprofessional. I had on my jeans and all of that. Still got this good treatment. And I ended up crying 3 weeks later at my experiment, because I realized, I was like, oh, my God, God, you mean it was me? You mean it really was my thoughts? And so I started testing it everywhere for about 2 years. And I realized it didn't matter. I mean, even today, most of my clients are white, and because I don't see color. But prior to that, in the 80s, I was seriously thinking, because I had been raised to believe that I was black and that I was going to have to work harder and that life was going to be hard and that I wasn't going to be able to get a man who'd be able to treat me a certain way because he was black too, and that it was just downhill from there. You know, just, you know, eat, die, and be black was some of the themes that I was raised with. And I was like, but once I lifted those beliefs and challenged them based on this information coming to me, I was shocked but relieved, because relief, of course, is the healing that all medicine seeks, mind, body, or spirit. And so once I realized that I could influence my experience, it had nothing to do with me being black, the whole world opened up to me. And so it didn't even matter anymore. The matter I was creating was manifesting in such beautiful ways. I was free. I was free. You know, I see myself as a citizen of the universe. I don't really ever label myself as anything. I know that I came forth in a body temple that's black. But I know that I see your spirit, and that's all that matters to me. And so for anyone that's black and feels that the mental health field is racist, it's no more different than any other diverse part of the universe, and the meaning you attach to that, you're going to continue to attract. So if you believe that you're being mistreated because you're black and you hold on to that, and you're scared to get help because of that, because you think you're going to be labeled, you're going to keep attracting more proof in your experience, and I go through that in my book on conditioning. You're going to keep seeing it, and you're going to say, see, I told you, see, I told you. But the only reason you're able to see I told you is because you're at a misaligned place, and you keep attracting other misaligned folks, and y'all two keep co-creating together. That's all that's happening. And so once you get aligned, you're going to start attracting some aligned folks, and you're going to start seeing the world through a beautiful place of creative process, and you're going to see the God source within you working just as it did when you were choosing to focus over there on the misaligned thoughts. And so you're the first radio host to bring the racial piece to the interview, and I'm so grateful, because we need to talk about this.
Yes, indeed.
Obama's in the house, folks. Give it up now. We are citizens of the universe, and stop saying he only did it because he's light-skinned. Oh, God, if one more person tells me that, I'll jump out the window. He is a soul that came forth next door to another soul whose parent told him, got to stop because you're black. His mother said, you can do anything you want. The other black person's parent said, you can't because you're black. That one became the head of the janitor board. This one became president of the United States. Let's understand the power of a thought, people. Please, this is sacred therapy. This ain't psychotherapy. This is sacred therapy. Be the sacred being you came forth to be, and I promise you that the universal laws will not disappoint you.
Let the church say amen. It's time to collect the offering. You got passionate about that one.
I got passionate about that one. I did. Forgive me.
We intend for passion. Because I'm thinking in my head, she's about to start a whole new show. We don't even have time for that. But no, if you hear you, especially when you talk about race and law of attraction, your thoughts create your reality, that's a whole show, especially race being something so sensitive. Yes, yes. And there might be people listening to you saying, well, she was fine until she started talking about I'm the reason I'm experiencing racism. It's like, I don't know about her now. She really had me, but when she started talking that stuff, I don't know what she's talking about. Sins of the universe. I'm black. But anyway, we ain't got time for that. But we're getting ready to release the show. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for sticking to the truth. Sticking to the truth. Because life circumstances sometimes reflect to us things that are contrary to what is true. We are the one that needs to see the truth in what's out there, because everything is an out picturing of our consciousness. And I definitely hear your stand, your passion in saying the truth is the truth. Use it or lose it. So thank you very much.
Exactly.
Before you leave us, what would you want our listeners to know before you go? What you're up to? How they can find out about you? Or any other information or things that you're doing that you want to let our listeners know about?
Thank you. Yes. Well, the book is available on Amazon.com in both paperback and in Kindle, Nook, or iPad versions, and anyone who purchases the book over the next 5 days will be sent a free CD for relaxation and meditation, which is called Aligning the Mind, Body, and Spirit. And so on my website at DrAmeliaKemp.com, we are about to do a retreat in Sedona that still has rooms available if anybody wants to go through the 8 steps with me directly. But if you can't make it to Sedona, you're welcome on my website. There's also a link called Sacred Therapy Life Coaching, and if you wanted to have a consult with me through Skype or over the phone to discuss some of these ideas, I'm also available for that. Or you can check out my radio show, which is also on blogtalkradio.com, called From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy, and you can call and ask questions there free. It's every Tuesday night at 10 p.m., or you can download or sign up for the podcast. So that's basically it. I'm in the midst of a 10-city book tour, and so if you go to my website or Facebook page, if anybody could go like my Facebook page, I'd appreciate it. I've been finding out I was supposed to ask for that. I didn't know that. So that's how you'll be able to start keeping up with me. Apparently, I need more likes. I didn't know that. So I'm new to it. I just got on Facebook for the book months ago, and I didn't know. I'm still trying to figure it out because I'm on a page where you apparently can't have any friends. You can only get likes. So, but in any case, you can keep up with me there and get free posters each week about, you know, one or two lines from the book or from the radio show that people really like. So that's how you can reach me.
Thank you so much for your time, your love, your vision, and continue to do what you do, and we look forward to having another conversation with you.
That would be wonderful. Thank you, Ade, for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Dr. Amelia Kemp has got me fired up now. I think I got time for one question. She got me fired up. I said to Celeste, I'm like, gosh, she's passionate. I love passion. You know, y'all know me. You know, I want the passion. I get drunk on passion. And you know, in that passion is where you get to release the truth. You get to release the fire. That passion itself transforms all the heavy thoughts. I can't do this because blah, blah, blah. But you got to get fired up, and that fire will burn the BS out of your life so that you may experience your shift
in consciousness. Life is consciousness, and life is in session. It's a good time to do questions. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. The number is 347. We don't have time for actually unless well maybe we can squeeze it in. I don't know. You know I like to squeeze stuff in, but I won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! I need to drink some water.
Hey.
Really, I really do need to drink.
I know.
Some water.
Where's my fire. Water, Doctor? I got a nickname her now. I don't know, Doctor A Torrid. Oh, I love that.
Doctor A Torrid.
Doctor A, love it. Right now, this is from Samantha. Dear Life Coach today, I'm a mother who loves my daughter very much. On a daily basis, she asks about meeting her father. However, he has moved on and got married. I leave messages for him, and he doesn't return my call. What can I say to my daughter? What do I do? Samantha.
Well, it's a simple answer. You just got to practice applying it. I would say tell the truth. Tell the truth. The father, let your daughter know her father's married. You try to reach him, but it's not returning your calls. Tell the truth. If your daughter asks, but why is it not responding, tell the truth. If you know, then let her know. Now, here's something that I would even encourage on a deeper level, speaking of, you know, going back to the soul, going back to the truth of who we are. Samantha, you search yourself and see if there's some unforgiveness going on. Because unforgiveness will open the door to love. Forgiveness will open the door to love. Forgiveness will open the door to understanding, and with understanding comes compassion. So as you tell your daughter the truth, you do your work. Because usually when people separate from a relationship, you say, oh, no, I'm fine. I never want nothing to do with him. He's out of my life. I'm happy. I never want to see her again. But it's like, really? What's up with all this tension? And people don't know to release that energy. And sometimes they hold on to the pain as a protective shield. And when you hold on to negativity, when you hold on to a thought of somebody being mean or betrayed you as your shield, then you, as Dr. Kemp was saying earlier, you create a space to attract more of that. Then you get in another relationship and you attract that. You say, well, there's just no good man around, no good woman around. You have to be the change you want to experience in your life. You have to be the change you want to see. So real simple, tell your daughter the truth. I don't know how old your daughter is, but tell her the truth. And do your spiritual work. And support your daughter in doing her spiritual work. You know, through your spiritual practice, you will be led. Listen to your intuition, what to tell her, what not to tell her. You know, have your daughter join you in the forgiveness process. Ask your daughter, how does she feel about not seeing her father? Let her tell her story. Let her write her story. And do it together. I know spiritual practice work. So that's what I'll say. Spiritual practice. And then when you change your energy inward, then you will start to experience life differently. And who knows? The father might call in and ask for forgiveness. He may call back or send an email or somehow just suddenly be present. But you got to see it for yourself first before you see it out there in the world. Because even with the unforgiveness, if you have unforgiveness and somehow your daughter makes contact with her father and you still holding pain, grudges, whatever, you're going to create more mess. And you don't want that for your sake and for your daughter's sake. You have the power to make a difference. Oh. So it is. I don't know.
That's
Celeste,
beautiful life coach today. No, you don't.
Time. It's a bit more.
No, because
next. Go ahead.
I just went to the Ask Life Coach Today medicine cabinet, and I remember that you dealt with this. So Samantha, if you're listening, I have the link. I'm going to put it in the chat room. Life Coach Today did a show about this called "Fatherless Like Me" with Tanya Grady.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful show. Yeah. And they actually wrote her daughter and herself. That it was a really powerful conversation. So I'm just pulling from the medicine cabinet of the archive of the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Here's the link, family, because Samantha's not the only one dealing with it.
And that, I want to say this because of time, I want to say this, too. It's like, and one thing that I know for true, and Dr. Kemp echoed this, it's like we have to understand adults and children, animals are souls in the body. They came here to experience life fully. And it's contrasting experience sometimes that trigger the best in us. In conversations with God, it talks about you got to experience yourself as who you are, who you're not, in order to experience who you really are. That's contrast. So, you know, I understand parents try to protect their children, but you can't protect them for life. If you really want them to experience life, yes. Do your spiritual work and let them express what they feel about life, is what life is bringing on their path. I always tell you, life ain't for wimps, and a spiritual path is for gladiators. And we are all gladiators if you're alive. If you're alive today, you are that. Because in your DNA is the power to create wonderful experience, to transform experience, to remind yourself of who you are. Yeah, that's enough time because I can't answer any more questions. Celeste, thank you very much. Check out Dr. Kemp's website. It is DrAmeliaKemp.com, AmeliaKemp, and Dr. DR. And also check out her website page. Go like her page. That would be your way of saying thank you for what she shared with you. You know, because if you're in church, you're going to give some offering, you know. You're going to give some kind of offering. So we're a different kind of church where, you know, sometimes people are still learning about their money energy. They're learning about recognizing that they're the energy called money. Give something. Give thanks. Click a link and say thank you. There are many ways to give back. There are many ways for you to be great, to share your gratitude. Tomorrow I'll be on 1-2 Radio for Soul Food for Your Consciousness. 12 p.m., no, I don't know why I say that, 12 a.m. Eastern. Did I say 12? Okay, let's start up again. I'll be on 1-2 Radio, 1-2Radio.com, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. Tomorrow's topic is on surrender. Are you ready to surrender to your greater yet to be? Are you ready to be more? Are you ready to awake to the truth of who you are? 10 a.m. Eastern on 1-2Radio.com, the home of Mark Hassan. And then later on Tuesday night, we have Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson talking about spiritual qualities. Ambassador on Thursday, the play experience. And Celeste on Sunday, the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Be true to yourself. Be loved. And allow yourself to be loved. This is Mitan and Deva Pramal. Deva Pramal, Mitan.com is their website. Wake up and show up so God can show out. Awakening. We are. Peace and blessings.
Long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in, everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Shanti Sachidananda. to that perfect imperfection, awakening in the oneness of it all. Everybody here, part of each other, sister and brother, rising in love. Oh, Shanti Sachidananda. Oh, Shanti.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.